Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I'm so grateful for this worship team here. And I'm just so blessed to be a part of this team. Without them, I'm nothing. And so I just am a grateful man of God. Amen. To have not only such talented, to be surrounded by such talented brothers and sisters, but brothers and sisters that I can call family, and brothers and sisters that are on fire for Jesus. And I think that's the biggest plus, amen, is that we're called to do what God has gifted us to do, and we spend a lot of time perfecting the gift, but also worshiping God in spirit and in truth, amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Larry, thank you for the special. Amen. Walking in Heaven, beautiful song. Y'all get ready. There's been some brothers who have paved the way, and I think that when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised. Everybody going to be bald-headed. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Amen. So get started now, you know. Go ahead and get started now. Hallelujah. Amen, Brother Brody. Just awesome, awesome brother. And he'll be missed, but boy, I tell you what. The hope that we have in Christ Jesus is beyond anything that we could claim in the world. Amen. I know that when I slip these bonds of this earthly place, you understand, I'll be there with other brothers and sisters that have gone there before me. Amen. And most of all, we'll be there in the presence of Jesus. Amen. Brother Brody, we love you. I want to thank God for my salvation. I want to thank God that I had a praying grandmother. And of course, my parents prayed for me. I know that, you know, this is a year of elevation, and God has called us to elevate in our prayer life. And today I want to be speaking on fighting for our families. I know that long before I came into Victory Outreach Men's Victory Home, years and years ago, because I was a desperado truly as a teenager, and I know that they were praying for me back then. My grandmother didn't get a chance to see me, you understand, after God got a hold of me, but I know she's looking down from heaven now, and her prayers were not in vain. Can somebody say amen? I also know that it was my prayers that God answered and brought to me, handpicked, my beautiful wife, my back-to-back partner. Oh, she gets all the shame. Anyway, I love you, my daughter, Kiana, all my children and grandchildren. I want to thank you for your prayers. I just buried my son-in-law, who would have been on the 20th. He would have turned 44. For a while there, it looked like we'd be bringing back with us our grandchildren, because my daughter's been struggling. I know you've been praying for her a while. Continue to pray, amen? And I feel comfortable with asking you that this morning, because this month is all about family. All about family. Now, I love my biological family. I love my immediate family. I love my family, but I love my spiritual family. Because I tell you right now, there are some things that I've gone through, me and my family have gone through, that it had not been for the body of Christ in your prayers, my heavenly family's prayers. Well, I don't know. I might be back at the crack house. Hello, somebody. I might not be here this morning with the message that God has given me for our congregation. Praise the Lord. You might have read about me in the newspapers or saw me on the news or something. But I thank God for the prayers of my heavenly family. Amen. I'm just going to pray right now. I'm going to get going here. We're going to get started. Amen. Heavenly Father, God, we give you thanks, dear Lord God. I thank you for the grace, your mercy, which endures forever, Lord. Lord, I humble myself before you this morning, God. I'm your vessel, Lord. Use me in the way that you will, Lord, and open up the hearts and the minds of the hearers this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today I want to speak to you concerning our call. It is our call to fight for our families. Pastor mentioned last week that some of our families are not around. There are some of us, you understand, who didn't have a family before we come to the body of Christ. There are others who we have adopted as family, friends. I want to thank you for your prayers for Brother Mitch, someone that Pastor Danny and myself, we grew up with, and a trumpet player that I used to play music with in the world. I've never seen anything like it as he laid up in the hospital from a major heart attack. And I've never seen anything like it in all my life. Praise God for UNM, the doctors and the nurses there, and the hand of God that moved through all the instruments that they were using. He called me the other day. Of course, we just got back from burying my auntie and my son-in-law there in Dallas. And I received a call the other day, and it was from his cell phone, Mitch's cell phone, and I cringed. I cringed, which it was the only way I could contact his family while he was in the hospital. They had his cell phone. But when I saw the number, I started to prepare myself. Instead of have faith, I started to prepare myself for some more bad news, supposedly. When I answered the phone, it was my brother Mitch. Hello, somebody. My brother Mitch. Amen. And he was through with his rehabilitation, and he was back at home. So again, thank you for your prayers. God created man. Adam, is called in Hebrew, otherwise speaking of mankind, not just the man, not just the male figure, but mankind, humanity. He created man in his own image according to his likeness. God created Adam and Eve with his own qualities and character and told them to be fruitful and multiply. God had given Adam and Eve the ability for kingdom growth, and God's intended purpose is to be surrounded in a loving relationship with his created children forever. Hello, somebody. How many of us know God is a family God? He's a family God. He cares about family. He cares about those who he has created. And he created us out of love. The Bible says that God is love. And that we would be a family that would be fruitful and multiply. That's not only meaning having babies, okay, which we do that. We got a lot of babies coming up. We're adding to our numbers here to church one way or another. Hello, somebody. And so anyway, what God is intending for us to do within our calling is to reach out. Because, see, there's some family that is already family. They're just not here yet. Because maybe we haven't reached them yet. And so it is in God's heart that he's called us, he's equipped us, and he's preparing us for those that in the last days and time that God is going to pour out his spirit in such a way, you understand, that the kingdom of heaven is going to grow, and we need to be ready for that growth. I'll say amen this morning. Because some of you look at me like, Pastor Charles, you're talking about more work. Yes, I am. Talking about more work. But God has given us a spirit that this work, you understand, that he's called us to, what he's called us to do, and he's given us the ability and the power. Somebody say power. Dunamis, which means dynamite in Greek, or explosive power, which Jesus promised the disciples when he was ascending back, before he ascended back into heaven. Hey, remain in Jerusalem because you will receive the gift, the promise, the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power, dunamis, if you remain here in my name, you receive that power. Awesome message preached the other night by Brother Devin. See, I love the power perspective. Because I know there's times that I would not be able to get up. There's times that I would be not concerned. There's times that I wouldn't be passionate. There's times that I wouldn't be compassionate. There are times, you understand, that I would say the heck with it all. But if it caused the love of Christ, if it's caused the heart of thanksgiving that God has given me, somebody reached me, God, here I am, use me, because, Lord, I am grateful. I'm a grateful man. Although mankind took a fall when Adam and Eve sinned, God had already made a way. Say, God made a way. Somebody say it. God made a way to reconcile us unto himself through the coming and the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 John 3:8, it says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to tell you this morning that that's nothing less than a declaration of war. Nothing less. We call ourselves children of God. Guess what? You're in a war. Whether you like it or not, you're in a war. You might as well go ahead and load up, you understand? Put on your breastplate and your helmet and gird yourselves, you understand? You might as well get ready and continue to war. Sometimes our stuff is all beat up, as I shared the other night, you understand? We put in work and our armor is all beat up. It's got dents in it, but this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Amen? It's better than being a puppet of the enemy. How many of us were puppets once upon a time, doing things contrary to God? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This glorious restoration that is coming to pass is not going to take place without a fight. Amen. We know the scripture says that God will fight our battles for us. This is true. This is true. But God's called us to stand. He's called us to stand in faith. He called us to stand according to his word. Otherwise, we got to show up. We got to get up. We got to dress up. We got to show up. We got to be word up in order to get up. Hello, somebody. In the things of God and to be used effectively by him. Let's understand that this is a spiritual war. It is a battle raging in our minds. Hello. The devil, he can't read our thoughts. No, he can't. No, he can't, but he watches us. He watches, he listens to us. Sometimes we got a whole bunch of negative comments and stuff. Okay? The Bible talks about death and life is in the power of the tongue. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, boy, I'm worried about this. Oh, it's just a shame. It's just a shame. It's just a shame. I ain't got no money for the rent. I ain't got no money to pay my car payment. Oh, I'm just worried about it. Oh, I can't stand it. I hate it. Oh, I'm just worried. Guess what? You're going to be sick and tired. You're going to be worried. You're going to be disgusted. You're going to be disappointed. As long as you're confessing those things, you understand, that is going to be the way. But instead, we should be confessing God's word. Standing on his word. Oh, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Hello, God goes before me to make the crooked way straight. Hello, somebody. There's no weapon formed against me that can prosper, in every lying tongue that rises up in judgment against me, I shall condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is from him, says God. We need to be confessing that. That's God's word. It goes forth. It does not return back to him void. Amen. The family unit was intended to be God's kingdom building center for his children. Right now, some of us got some children that not where they're supposed to be. We get upset, we get mad. But then guess what? It's time to get glad. Hello, somebody. Y'all look at me like, what are you talking about? It's time to get glad. Sometimes it takes a few more knots upside the head in order, you understand, to say, I'm done. I'm tired. We believe and we pray for our families. Hello, somebody. And I'm not talking about just our immediate family. I'm talking, we got family here. All right? My knot ain't too small. I'm a knucklehead, knot head, if you will. God still got me under construction. But we got to continue to believe and know that our prayers will be answered for our loved ones. We have to know that, hey, they're going to have to endure a few more things, you understand, before they make an intelligent decision. When I staggered into the men's home, I had made, praise God, because I can't take no credit for it. Well, let's put it that way. I slid up under the door, okay? Came through the cracks, if you will. But I know that it was an intelligent decision. Praise be unto God. And because I had a praying grandmother, a praying mama, a praying father, uncles and aunts who were always telling me, hey, God's got a calling upon your life. I didn't know what that was, but hey, amen and amen, you know. And so they were pointing me in the right direction. Proverbs 22:6 says, out of the Message version, it says, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. They won't be lost. Oh, I was wandering around, but praise God, because the word, you understand, was being poured into me as a kid, you understand. I had some conviction, and when I finally saw the light, I ran toward it. Hello. You know, I'm tired of this. I got to go. I got to go. Can't do this no more. Can't do this no more. And praise God. He was there with open arms. And so was God's people who are now my spiritual family. Amen? I thank God for my pastors. And this is a privilege to be up here behind this podium. Amen? And I love Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara. They have been very important to my spiritual growth. And what they do, the love that they have, you understand, is genuine. It is genuine for souls. Amen? Let's take into consideration this morning that not everyone has been raised in a Christian family or church. But whether you have or not, whether you're young or old, God said that he'd be a father to the fatherless. Well, God makes his appeal through people. There's a mama in here raising up a disciple young lady, you understand, that she didn't give birth to. Hello. We sometimes joke, that's my brother from another mother. That's my sister from another mother. But that's the real deal. See, God has called us to be all things and to all people, all men, you understand, for the sake of the gospel. Hello, somebody. Can I get an amen this morning? So it is important for us to be obedient to the call of discipleship where God makes his appeal through his chosen people. Amen? I want you to turn with me now. We all right this morning? I'm just making sure. Y'all pretty quiet this morning. That's okay. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. That's all good. That means you're taking in God's word this morning. And I'm satisfied with that. Because I'm the least of the preachers here. Praise God. We got some awesome preachers here. Well, I saw Devin and the message that he delivered on Wednesday night. You know, it gives us all some hope, boy. We got a generation coming up. You understand? This third wave coming up, boy. And they some powerful ministers. Amen. Hallelujah. Nehemiah, prophet of God, who was a cupbearer for one of the Persian emperors or kings, if you will. Cupbearer. That's a person who tastes whatever they're giving the king to drink. He tasted first, because back in those days, a king was quick to get poisoned. Hello, somebody. You know, somebody who's tired of being a servant might say, let's slip this off in the drink and we're going to get rid of this king. I've taken too much abuse from him and we're going to get rid of him today. All right. And so Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer for this king. He tasted the wine first. Now Nehemiah kicked over it and they know it was poison in the wine. Whatever it was. Hello, somebody. But he was faithful and he was He was there and he was dedicated to the king and doing what he was doing. And Nehemiah had brethren that came from Judah. And they told him, said the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and they talked to him concerning Jerusalem, which this was his family. Hello, somebody. This was Nehemiah's family. And he was told that the survivors there were in great distress and reproach, and that the wall of Jerusalem was broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Let's look at that from a spiritual perspective. Sometime the wall, hello, somebody, that keeps the temptation out, sometimes it's broken down. Hello, somebody. Sometimes we got holes in our walk. Hello. Sometimes we leave a door open for the enemy to come through. Hello, somebody. Sometimes we're in a broke down condition. A wall represents fortitude. Hello, somebody. Protection. Safety. And the gates were usually bronze and or iron, and they were sturdy. You had to be able to get in and out. And of course, they control that input-output. But the walls around the city, understand, of his people was broke down, torn down. It concerned him because this was his familiar. This was his family. I'm going to speak a little Spanish every now and then. It's okay. All right. I've been in New Mexico 65 years. I guess I can do this. All right. A poquito español. No hable mucho. When Nehemiah heard these things, he wept. He mourned for many days. How many have wept and mourned for family? And he wept and he mourned for many days. But the thing that he does next is so important. He fasted. And he prayed before the God of heaven. He did this day and night. He fasted and he prayed unto God. God heard his prayers and God made a way. How many of us has God made a way for? Obviously he made a way this morning because you're here. And as I always say, every demon in hell, you understand, was trying to keep you from getting here this morning. All right, to listen to a big mouth preacher this morning. But even more so than that, whether I'm big mouth or, you know, I'm speaking down here, I'm still going to speak God's word. Can you hear me okay down there? Okay. So as long as you hear me, the word's going to go forth. Hallelujah. But I'm going to shout so I can wake you up, keep you awake. So he fasted and prayed, and God answered his prayers. And God led him back and made a way that he could go back, and God had given him a mission, a vision, a mandate to go back and be the leader over the ones that he would call to rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. Somebody say amen. We'll begin to read here in Nehemiah, book of Nehemiah, beginning in chapter 4. Amen. What time is it? Hallelujah. Chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. And the word of God reads, but it so happened when Sanballat, as some say, heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant. Otherwise, he was upset. He was mad because they was rebuilding the walls, and began to mock the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren, the army of Samaria, because they were enemies, and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Ain't that the way they talk about a sometime victory outreach? What is they doing over there at victory outreach? They standing on the street corner, got the bullhorn out. You understand? They shouting loud. You understand? Brothers walking around with tattoos. Some of the women walking around with tattoos everywhere. Hello, somebody. They're in full force. I remember that brother from a long time ago. Man, that brother there used to run the crack house. The heck is he doing? And he's all fat now. He's fat now. I remember when he was twigs. He was like a straw on a broom. Yeah, sometimes your outward appearance is going to impact somebody. Brother Jabbo, Brother Charles, they smoking crack no more. Because he was a dope fiend. And on crack, he weighed 90 pounds wet. Soaking wet. So they come and inquire. Hello, somebody. They come and inquire. So what are these people Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, the stones that are burned? Now, Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside him, and he said, of course, he got to give his buddy here, you understand, you know, give him some help here. And he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. And of course, Jerusalem caught wind. The people of God caught wind of what they were talking about, what they were saying. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Somebody, you got to watch out for the hole that you're digging for somebody else. The Bible tells you'll fall into your own device. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you. Who have they provoked? God. God, this is God's people. They have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we build the wall. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. For the people had a mind to work. How many of us have a mind to work? Now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah and Arabs, the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, well, the Ites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. Well, you know the enemy's mad. He's hot. Smoking because you're in church this morning. Smoking because you gave your life to Jesus. Men's and women's home, he's mad. Don't get it twisted. That's okay. We know when he's mad, you understand, something right is happening in God's kingdom. Does him good to be mad because he can't do nothing about it if we don't let him. Hello, somebody. He don't have no power over us unless we give it to him. Hello, somebody. Amen. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, who is God. Of course, I added that. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. See, there got to be some work put in. We can't just hold on our head and, you know, hey, God's going to take care of it. Sometimes we get like that. You know, God's going to take care of it. I'm cool. I'm going to sit over here. You understand? I'm just going to chill out all day and night. I ain't going to put in no work. I ain't going to worry about it. God got it. He holding it down. We can't be like that. God's called us to war. God's called us to put in work. Hello, somebody. Come on, let's face it, we put in work for the devil, didn't we? We put in work for the devil. How much more should we put in work, people of God, says God, you understand, made a way for us out of a grateful heart. Verse 10, then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was that when the Jews who dwelt near them came, that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their what? Families. According to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. According to what? Their families. All right, we're talking about they had spirit. These families were equipped. Hello, somebody. We come to church. God wants to equip this family. Y'all hear me this morning. 14, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the elders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. This is real key here, church. I want you to listen. Remember the Lord. Somebody say, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Great and awesome. A great and awesome God brought me out of the crack zone, brought me out of the state penitentiary, brought me out of the county jail system, brought me out of that old miserable messed up condition that I was in and on my way to hell. Remember the Lord. This was a people who, when they looked back in their ancestry, they had been brought out of Egypt. Hello, somebody. Out of slavery. I was a slave. I was a slave to my sin. I was a slave to the enemy. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And fight. This is a command, y'all. Fight. Fight for your brethren. Hello, somebody. Do I have any brethren up in here? Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wife, your homes, your community, your neighborhood, your next door neighbor, for the man down at the store, the woman behind the cash register. Fight for that man, you understand, that's homeless out there in the corner where the dumpster is. Fight for that sister that's up and down Central here who has lost all of her children, has given herself to prostitution. Fight, fight, fight. This is our future family I'm talking about as well. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. God makes a way. God makes a way. Too many times in the Bible we see that the people of God, they position themselves. A couple of times the enemy starts stabbing each other. They start killing each other. Ain't that something? God confuses the enemy so bad sometimes he starts killing each other. Can you see the demons just beating up each other? We thought we had him in our grasp, but then something happened. We start beating each other up. Hello. Start stabbing each other. I want you to understand that likewise, Satan will do all in his power to tear down the walls of our spiritual protection around those that we love, around us, around those that we love. And so as it says here, we are to fight for our family. We've been called to fight for the sake of our families. I believe there are some people in this place this morning that are dealing with issues. That are dealing with issues. And they haven't come to those who consider themselves family for prayer, for counseling. Sometimes we get standoffish in that place of misery. We get stuck. Sisters and brothers, don't be stuck this morning. God has provided you with family. He has provided the family, you understand, with gifts and various tools, you understand, to bring uplifting into your life, encouragement into your life. More than anything, that we be a praying family for your condition. We be a trusting and believing family that God is going to hear our prayers, you understand? And through the faith that he has given us, his hand is going to move and your situation is going to change. You've got to believe that this morning. You have to believe that this morning. There are too many witnesses here for you not to. I can start calling up testimonies right now. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about some ex-convicts and things. All right? But then I can call up some people, you understand, hey, they never had a speeding ticket, but nevertheless, they know God is good and he's powerful. And they've been standing in the gap for somebody for years and years. who they saw God change, turn around, give a purpose in life. Amen? Don't get quiet on me, church. Get quiet on me. The Bible says in Nehemiah 14 here, there's something specific here too. In 4:14, it says, and I looked, hello, and arose and said to the noble, he looked, he saw what was going on. He saw his brothers, he saw his sisters, he saw leaders that were ready, he saw people that showed up. See, he was a vessel, a tool in the hands of God. I'm going to ask you this morning, have you looked? Have you looked around this morning? Have you looked over the situations in your own home? Have you looked at your neighbor's situation? Have you looked at the situation of your neighborhood, the condition of the city? Have we looked at our country? Have we looked at the world? Have we paid attention to the news, the newspapers, the internet, CNN, and so forth? Have we looked? This cliche about things are going to get better before they get worse, that's hogwash. It's not real. It's not what my Bible tells me. But for the people of God, listen, we're not going to worry about that. Because, see, we're going to dance down them streets of gold. See, if I lose my life for the sake of the gospel, then, hey, guess what? Oh, my goodness. I'm going home to be with Jesus. Going home to be with Jesus. God forbid I died in the crack house. Thank you, Jesus. Hello, somebody, and been on my way to hell. Have we looked? Have we heard that half of all marriages end in divorce? And we're talking about even in the church. Have we heard that drug use in the middle school, the students is on the rise? I used to watch the 11 and 12 years old at the school where I was working. They cruise in the morning, you understand, until the staff got wise. They cruise in with narcotics, sir, in a styrofoam cup. We used to call it syrup, Robitussin, whatever they got out there now. Robitussin that you get over the counter, Robitussin AC it was. In the day you see a brother walk in and say, what's wrong with him? He's on syrup. He's on syrup. We used to do syrup back in the day. But 11 and 12-year-olds out there with a narcotic syrup in a cup with 7-Up, and I don't know what the deal is with the Jolly Rancher. They throw a Jolly Rancher off in there. And it's in a styrofoam cup, and I don't know what difference that makes, but they walk on the schoolyard sipping. Call it lean. Hello, somebody. Am I right or wrong? Maybe I'm calling it the wrong name. Is it lean? It's called lean. It makes you. You know, heroin makes you lean too, brother. But they call it lean. All right? And they're encouraged by people like Lil Wayne. God bless him. I pray he's going to rap for Jesus one of these days. Amen? We need to pray for it. Amen? But yeah, they leaning on lean, Sam. Leaning on lean. And I'm talking about people of God. These are 11 and 12-year-olds. Until our staff at the school got is what we used to call hip to it. Got knowledge of this thing. Hello, somebody. Lean. And the average age for a sexual activity now is, the average age is 11 and 12. Indulging in sexual activities. 11 and 12. We live in an age where children, they see violence, they see rape, they adultery, burglary, drug use, and vulgar language on primetime TV. Some of the words they say now, man, look out, got slapped upside my head just to rush me over there and turn that off. You didn't hear all that stuff when I was, well, then again, you know, I'm a whole nother generation, y'all. All right. But this is on regular primetime television. Sometimes me and my wife, we watch TV. Did he say that? That's what he said. Did he say that? My goodness, on primetime? Hello, somebody. Teenage pregnancy is still an epidemic. Now, this is something that's been. It was something that was epidemic when I was coming up, and it still is. and teen suicide on the average of the age of 15. We hear it every single day. It can be depressing to turn on the news and watch the news. These kinds of issues are not just happening down the street or in that other community, but in your own house, in my own house, in your own house, next door neighbor's house. It's no longer across town, but it's right there. Right there, it's affecting our households. Instead of fearing the issues that are springing up, if you can come to the keyboards, please. Instead of fearing the issues that are springing up all around us, let us understand that fearing and revering God is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible tells us. We don't want to fear this other stuff because we have to have for reverence for of the God who has called us and trust in his power. Because he has promised to give us a way out. Amen? And this will keep us on the right path. We are his chosen people. We are his possession. He is a sovereign master over us, and we are his servants. We're also his family. Our duty is not to understand what he's doing, because God puts us in situations and circumstances and calls us to do things. That's why we used to have a saying in the home, just get in the van, because it didn't matter, because, hey, this is God's van, and wherever we go, it's going to be all right. Brother, you just got out of the penitentiary, and getting in the van ain't going to be no big deal. Get in the van. Back in the day, they used to call the van out there on the street a paddy wagon. Get in the paddy wagon. Get in the cop car. Getting in any vehicle, you understand, at the men's home, it was going to be fine with me. Because I was tired of seeing the police car. Tired of being hogtied because I always gave up a fight. Tired of getting hit upside the head with the club. Maced in the face. Oh, I've been beat up. Because I always went with a fight. Tired of it. Get in the van, church. Let's get in the van. If it's God's van, it's all right. In the process of our obeying him, let us strengthen ourselves and our families through meditation and sharing God's awesome greatness. Do not be afraid of them, he said. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your house. Nehemiah was a praying man, a man who spoke to God. But he was one of God's people who God spoke back to him. God revealed a vision to him, and he didn't care that his enemies were acting a fool. Hello, somebody. The devil's going to spin out like a top. We don't care about all of that. Don't be mad. We don't care about all of that. We're God's children. We're God's family. The enemy will always get his crown on, you understand, when God begins to break you and mold you and shape you into the man or woman that God has called you to be. We gained a spiritual victory this morning. We got a spiritual victory this morning just from showing up, but showing up is just not enough. We got to believe God. We got to believe that God is fighting on our behalf, and he's called us to fight on the behalf of others. He gives us what we need in order to wage that battle. There are three guidelines to gaining this victory. Number one, always go to the Lord. Inquire of him. That's number one, period. Inquire. This Bible is full of people that inquired first. They didn't try, well, I'm going to do this here. Well, some of them, yeah, they did. Yeah, some of them did. Don't let me say they did. Yeah. David did some things on his own, but he found out. Understand that it is better to inquire of the Lord first. Go to the Lord with the reproaches, the disapprovals, with the insults of those who oppose or despise you as you pursue God's will, as you pursue God's purpose. There's going to be people. Definitely going to make the devil mad and all his cohorts, but there's going to be people as well. that are being driven, you know, by their own jealousies and things. Don't even respond to them, but trust in God's justice and faithfulness. Remember to pray for those who persecute you, because God loves souls. You don't pray for the devil, you pray for the people. You pray for the souls. Number two, recognize and be on guard. The Bible talks about being vigilant, being alert, as it says in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be vigilant, which means be alert. You can't do the one without the other. You cannot be drunk or drunken in whatever it is that's got you preoccupied. Hello, might be car, might be money, might be Susie Q or Slick Willie. Be preoccupied. Hello, somebody. Be drunk on. Oh, that girl, she's so bad. She's a fine girl, blah, blah, blah. Slick Willie, oh, he talks so sweet. He said he's a lover, not a fighter. I hate it for you, girl. Oh, Slick Willie about to lead you down that way. Okay. Be sober-minded, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is what he does all day long. How many cohorts? Watching you. Uh-oh, he just said he's sick. He's tired. Oh, boy, he just spoke slander about his brother. Maybe I can get in that door. Oh, she talked bad about a sister's dress. Maybe I can get in through that door. You'll squeeze in where you can fit in. Hello, somebody. Time to build the walls. Button down the hatches. Put on your armor. Number two, recognize and be on guard, like I said a while ago. Number three, if I can get the worship team up. Realize, otherwise become fully aware of the things around you. Make it your business to know. We got to be some nosy folks. I don't care. We got to be some nosy folks. We got to be paying attention. I ain't gonna lie, man. I've never met people so nosy. But that's okay, because see, nosy in the kingdom is called being your brothers and your sisters keeper. Hello, somebody. Can I get an amen this morning? Being nosy in the kingdom, that's what it's all about. Brother, you all up in my business. Well, brother, I'm concerned about you. Sister, you all up in my business. Sister, I'm concerned about you. That's what that's all about. Be nosy. But we want to do it in a tasteful way. Because we don't want to offend. We don't want to offend anybody or drive anybody away because we use the wrong kind of tactic. Be as gentle as a dove, the Bible says. But as cunning as a serpent. Didn't say be a serpent. Don't get me jacked up here. Be as cunning. That means find ways to minister to that individual. Find the ways, but be gentle. When you take on, the manifestation of Jesus, the Spirit is working in your life and you're walking in the Spirit. And the Spirit will guide you on how to approach someone that's in need. But being nosy is all right, as long as you're tactful. Amen. Be aware, realize, and know and understand clearly what's around you in the situation. Realize that all ministry involves spiritual warfare. All ministry involves spiritual warfare. Be prepared for the battle. Put on the full armor of God, as it says in Ephesians 12, beginning with 12. It says, "For we do not fight, wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." See, church, there's a time coming where we ain't gonna be able to do nothing but stand. Nothing but stand. Jesus is coming back soon, and the enemy already knows this. And wickedness in the world, and in our neighborhoods, in our community, in our city, you understand, wickedness is beginning to abound. But God says His grace shall abound much, much more. Come on, praise him this morning. Praise him this morning. It says, stand therefore. Otherwise, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. Stand anyway in the name of Jesus and let go and let God this morning. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Morning, we know that Jesus came. He lived amongst us. He stepped out of heaven, the Son of God, and he came down. God in the flesh, Emmanuel. And he dwelled amongst his people, amongst the people. But he came down on a mission because, see, there had to be a sacrifice. Oh, not the temporal sacrifices that there had been in the past, but a permanent sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, an unblemished sacrifice. He walked amongst us. He was tempted by everything that we're tempted by. But the Bible says he never sinned. But the Bible also tells us he understands our temptation. He understands what we go through. I'm here to tell you this morning that when he stretched out and he gave his life. He gave up his life on the cross. He shed his blood for you and I. And those of us who believe this, who believe that he gave us the free gift of salvation. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. This morning, this first call is going to be to those who want to ask Jesus to come into their lives, who believe that he's the Son of God, born of a virgin. So this morning, if that's you, raise your hand. Raise your hand this morning. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. I want to lead you in a prayer, those who raised their hand. Next, I want to make an altar call for those family who don't yet understand that there are those, not everybody, but there are those within this congregation that are true family, who are genuinely concerned about you. And maybe you're going through something. Maybe it's an unforgiveness. Maybe somebody has done something to you that rubbed you the wrong way. Whether it be a brother or sister in the church or somebody outside. We want to pray for you this morning. We're here. We're family. We're family. We're not busybodies or nosy for the heck of it. We want to be able to pray for you and welcome you into the household of faith. Welcome you into this family. And that's what God has called us to do. Amen. So as they begin to sing this song again, those who said you want to accept Jesus into your hearts for the first time, I want you to come now. Come now. Don't be ashamed. I want to pray for you. I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. Come on up here. Come on up here. Amen. 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 God bless you. Is there anyone else? Hallelujah. 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 Don't be afraid. Come on over here.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Can I pray with you, brother? And with, can I lead you in a prayer? That's my brother, amen. 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 Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I believe that you're the Son of God, and that you came down from heaven. Lived amongst men, and you died on the cross. You shed your blood for me. I believe that you raised from the dead in 3 days, and you ascended back into heaven. And now you're in heaven interceding for me. And Lord, I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. Teach me your ways. Because I want to be ready when you come for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this young brother, my God. Lord, this precious child. Our women's home director's son, God. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for praying, Mama. Thank you for praying, Mama. Lord, I just pray over him, Lord. That at this young age, that he get a hold of the things of you, God. That, Lord, he grow up to be the family, the warrior that you called him to be, Lord. That he'll take his direction from you, dear Lord God, to encourage others, my God. For there's a generation of youngsters like him, dear Lord God, that are rising up. And, Lord, now he's been added to that number, my God. And so, Lord, we look forward to this generation, my God, that is being raised up to be the warriors, dear Lord. Of the church of tomorrow and today, God, that he be effective at his school as a minister, Lord, that, Lord, he would be one, dear Lord God, who catches the attention of his peers. We pray, protect him and keep him, show him the way. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's always working. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, church, just continue to intercede. Continue to pray for fasting. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for those who come forth this morning, dear Lord God, to accept, dear Lord God, your free gift of salvation, because we already know that you accept them, dear Lord God, for you have made a way for them, Lord. And we thank you for adding them to this holy family, my God, this family of faith, this household of faith, my God. We thank you, Lord. We pray for them, dear Lord God. Oh, Heavenly Father, that you break them, mold them, and shape them, dear Lord God, and give them the desire, dear Lord God, to follow you, to be led by you, dear Lord God, and to be there and available for others, dear Lord God, that you're calling as well to this holy family. Protect them and keep them. We ask in the name of Jesus. This next altar call, as they begin to sing, is for all of those who desire prayer this morning, for whatever you're going through, for whatever situation that you might be in this morning. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.